Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome back to r/pro revenge, where you come to hear stories about people getting what they deserve. Guys, I hope your day is going well today. I hope you're having a lovely Sunday. If it's not Sunday for you today and you're watching this video on another day, I hope you're having a great freaking day. Guys, in this episode today, there's going to be three revenge stories. The first, OP gets fired after asking for a day off and he decides to take his boss to court. The second story is about a landlord that faces jail time and deportation over $52 measly. And we'll finish up with a drunk neighbor who picks a fight with OP's dad and finds out it's the worst decision of his life. Guys, I hope you stay for the stories today, and do hit that subscribe button for future revenge stories. Let's get into it. This first story is titled, I sued my boss because he fired me for wanting to attend a concert. First up, some backstory. During my gap year between studies, I decided to work for Company N. Company N was run by a husband, Dave, and his wife, Karen, with her son, and basically treated their staff like family. All was well for about 2 months, until I asked for a day off, since I wanted to attend the very last Slayer concert in my country before they ended their tour. There was about a month before the concert, so I sent an email asking for the day off and explaining why. And this is where everything started to go downhill. I got a reply from Karen, and her reply was, weird. She stated that that's not how asking for a day off works. I was confused to say the least. I wasn't sure what to do. I thought she wanted a more formal way of asking, so I wrote a formal email asking for the day off. She shot an email back that I really had to think it through what I was doing, which made even less sense to me. But I was hopeful, since I never really got a specific no. The next workday rolls around. I arrived. I locked up my bike and headed inside ready for work. I immediately started looking for Dave to get answers. Before I could even open my mouth, he asked me, So, do you still want to go to that concert? I didn't expect him to ask this so quickly. I was excited and answered, yes. The only thing he said back was, okay, take your vest off and you can go home. I was stunned. It was very nice of him to let me go to the concert, but I didn't know why I was being relieved of my shift. It took a while, but the words started to sink in, and I look at my colleagues, which were preparing for opening. When it finally sank in what was happening, and that I was being fired, anger flowed in. I'm not a confrontational person, so I simply took off my vest and gave it to Dave. Without a word, I left, and started biking home. When I got back home, I told my mother what happened. We started sending emails for extra information, and got very Karen-like emails back. The emails pretty much went nowhere. Many people would have just taken the firing and moved on, but not me. I looked up the laws for immediate dismissal. After reading up about it, I learned that in my country, somebody can only be immediately fired when caught stealing, frauding, refusing to do the work, or are unable to do the work. I did not do any of these. I simply wanted one measly day off to go to the concert. A day or two later, I met with my attorney and began the steps to sue Company N. I told my lawyer what happened in detail, and he was very confident that I was in my right, and she was not. So after trading even more emails between the three of us, we went to small claims. I came prepared in a suit with my attorney in tow, and Karen showed up, alone. I guess she assumed she won because she thought she was right. The trial began, and I was as professional and as objective as I could be, and Karen did the same. Well, she did it for about half the trial. When she realized that evidence was piling up against her, she resorted to calling me a spoiled brat, among other things, and I'm safe to say that was the point the judge ruled in my favor, and I won. It may have taken about 6 months from the moment I was told to go home, but in the end, I got 6 months of pay from Dave and Karen, and it was 100% worth it. In the end, I went to the concert, and it was the most awesome concert that I've ever been to in my life. Now that is a win. OP got to go to the concert, and he won 6 months of pay from that couple. I still don't understand why they fired OP for wanting to go to a Slayer concert. I mean, he did give 1 month's notice for one day off, so it wasn't like it was last minute. Maybe the owners hate the band Slayer. We'll never know. This story is titled, I Just Wanted My $52 Back. I'll start out by saying that my actions helped to precipitate this pro-revenge, but I can't really take credit for causing everything that followed. This was 7-ish years ago in upstate New York. I had moved there for graduate school and knew no one. The first place I lived with was with roommates I found on Craigslist. This was the first place I'd ever rented in my life with my name on the lease, where I was essentially responsible for myself. The roommates I had were damn shady, and the place was a wreck, but cheap at least. I made a few friends in the first couple of months, and by about November, they were all talking about finding places for the following year, which is common in a lot of college towns. Three of my friends found a place together, and so I decided to find a place with my two other friends. We'll call them Pat and Dora. We looked around for a bit, and ended up finding a place a few houses down from our other three friends, and signed the lease in late November. It's a house with two separate suites. One upstairs, us, and one downstairs. The landlord seems pretty swell too. Our rent included snow removal, water, heat, and electricity. The school year comes and goes, and we move in at the beginning of June, no problems. Towards the end of August, our landlord calls and tells us that he's selling the place. But not to worry though, our lease is still good of course, and the new guy owns some properties already. Cool, whatever. We get the address of the new landlord to send the checks to, no big deal. The new landlord seems fine. We call in October about a power outlet not working, and he gets it fixed. He's good about the snow removal, and no real problems. We barely interact with the downstairs neighbors, and over the course of the year, we only have half a dozen interactions where we need to ask them to keep it down. Notable is that the school we're talking about here is fairly expensive, and most of the undergrads come from backgrounds with a fair amount of money, you'd need to, in order to afford this school. The downstairs neighbors have really nice cars, and a lot of nice stuff in the garage. It seems likely that they come from money. They also let us have their beer bottles and cans to recycle, which is really nice of them, and it nets us like $10 to $20 a week. The school year comes and goes, and we move out. I move out first, over Memorial Day, since I'm working in Asia for the summer, and then planning to move out of state after that. I don't see the place again, but I ask my roommates to clean well enough that we can at least get some of the deposit back. I leave for Asia, and in early July, I email Pat and Dora, asking if they've received their deposits back. They had, and Dora...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Dora sends me a scan of it. Going through, we each lost $70 for cleaning and damage, and then there's a bill for $52 for the water bill. I don't know what condition they left the apartment in, so I guess maybe it took a few $100 to clean. Then I remember that the water was included in the rent. I bring this up with both of them, which they remember as well. I email the landlord and mention this to him. At this point, I assume that maybe he just has a different setup at the other properties and made an honest mistake. Accidents happen. I hear back from the landlord 2 weeks later. He asked to see the copy of the lease, and reflecting on this, I assume he thought I wouldn't have access to one since I was in Asia. I have Dora and Pat scan me the lease, mail him a copy, and email it to him. I hear back 2 weeks later, and he says he'll send us the money. By the time I get the money, it's late August, and I'm home from Asia. And yay, I get my $52 back. Talking to Dora and Pat a few weeks later, since Pat had just gotten engaged and was Skyping the whole old crew, I find out that neither of them had gotten their $52. At this point, I was pissed. Clearly that was not an honest mistake. The landlord assumed that I didn't talk to Pat and Dora, and that they wouldn't find out. Pat and Dora are pissed. I'm pissed. We dig out the contact information from the undergrads who live downstairs, and we let them know what's up. We also let the current residents know what happened, since we happen to have contact info for some of them. We write them an email, and I provide copies of all my emails with the landlord and the lease. I hear from Pat and Dora that they just got their money 30 days later, and that the landlord was a dick about it. I don't think about it for a long time, even though I'm still in touch with Pat and Dora. But about 2 years after this happens, I get an email from a law firm asking if I used to live at the old address and if landlord was my landlord. I reply yes, and they ask to speak on the phone. The law firm belongs to one of the undergrad's dads, the guy who lived downstairs. Through the course of the conversation, I find out the same thing happened to the undergrad, and his dad was really angry about this, that someone would try to take advantage of his son. He has the time and the resources to go scorched earth on the landlord. Dad brings a case against the landlord and has his people comb through all of the landlord's records, former tenants, etc. As it turns out, he's been scamming people like this for quite a while. The lawyer explains to me that because of this, the landlord's facing jail time. He apparently did enough of this that they were able to provide evidence for it, and it escalated to the level of some really serious crime. It became like a criminal case over a civil one, I think. On top of this, I'm getting $70 back, and so are Dora and Pat, as part of some settlement deal. The landlord has to sell his properties, and the kicker is, as it turns out, the landlord's legal status could be in jeopardy. Because of this being a serious crime, he may face deportation. I really just wanted my $52 back for the water bill. Guys, I've said this many, many times before. You can only screw over so many people before you mess with the one person that will bring you down. And in this case, the landlord screws over a tenant that ends up costing him his properties, lands him in jail, and he's now facing deportation. All because he happened to mess with the lawyer's son, who knows the power of written contracts. This last story is titled, Cheating Neighbor Gets Drunk, Picks Fight, and Gets Marriage Ruined in the Process. A few years back, this guy moved into a duplex next door to my family, with his wife and two kids. His wife was a quiet, well-mannered woman, and their two kids were super sweet. The guy, however, was an alcoholic dirtbag who made it a point of being an obnoxious, rude asshat. Over the course of a few years, he bought and subsequently neglected a dog until it died. Regularly did business with addicts out of his home, two of his clients got arrested outside of his home for possession of meth, and on multiple occasions, he would get trashed and bring home women while his wife and kids were visiting relatives in Texas. Eventually, his alcoholism started to spiral out of control, and he started getting into more and more shouting matches with his wife. My family would stay out of it and actively avoid interfering. There was never any physical violence, and we learned from his wife that when other people got involved, he would get even worse. For the sake of her and the kids' well-being, we left them alone. There were still instances, however, where we would get pulled into things. This epic bit of revenge came as one result of one such instance. My parents, two brothers, and I had just gotten back from a family gathering, and we were all pretty much drained from dealing with relatives all day. We pulled in and started unloading all the food from the back of the car when the neighbor's wife and kids came outside. We thought nothing of it until the neighbor came screeching out of the front door, hurling abuse at his wife while barely able to string coherent sentences together while in his drunken rage. His wife, not wanting to alarm the neighborhood, asked him to stop yelling because the neighbors, my family, were outside. In his stupor, he came to the conclusion that because this fight was happening on his property, it was illegal for us to listen to. He turns and starts screaming at my father, calling him a fat ass and other terrible names. He then proceeded to walk to the edge of the property line and threaten to kick my dad's ass. To paint you a picture of my dad, he's about 280 pounds of don't mess with me, and he doesn't put up with people treating him like crap. My dad gave his concealed handgun to my mom, calmly walked out to the property line, and looked my neighbor dead in the eye. He then gave the neighbor a choice, to walk away or persist and face the consequences of his actions. The neighbor, being drunk out of his mind, decided to scream at my father, saying things like, "Hit me, you fat bastard. I'll knock you out." Taking that as the answer, my dad looked over at the neighbor's mortified wife and said, "I'm sorry you have to find out this way, but he's been cheating on you for a very long time. It happens when you often leave town to visit family. He'll bring other women home." Immediately, she starts to cry, and the neighbor somehow turns redder than he'd been mere moments before. His wife quickly put the traumatized children in the car and sped off, all while her husband begged her to let him explain. After she drove off, he went inside, and we don't hear a peep out of him for the rest of the night. In the months following the incident, we only saw his wife there a couple of times. In the end, she left him, and she took most of what he owned, including his SUV, that he was super proud of. You know what? The drunk neighbor did ask the dad to hit him, and the dad pretty much destroyed his marriage with one single punchline. Oh, that joke was so lame. And that brings us to another end of R slash Pro Revenge. If you missed the last episode of R slash Pro Revenge, you need to check it out. OP's psycho boss assaults her, and her friend comes to the rescue and brings his life crashing down. Guys, if you haven't seen it, go check it out right now, and I'll see you guys in the next one.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.